It is time now to catch up with John Defteris from CNN, of course. He's on the line now, and he's actually in Abu Dhabi. Good evening, John. You're not traveling.
Yes, yes, I was going to say, after a lot of traveling for the last month.
We can't keep up with where we're speaking to you each week.
I was going to say, one would accuse me of trying to escape the heat, which is partially true, but there's a lot of stories out there I've been traveling on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good to have you on as ever. And let's start with discussing the latest U.S. sanctions legislation against Russia. What does it mean? What are the new sanctions?
Well, the reason I wanted to flag it, I thought it was interesting in that it bundles Russia, North Korea, and Iran kind of under one umbrella. And the United States has taken a fairly tough line because of, for example, the missile testing we see by Iran taking place. Russia, because of the tensions of bilateral ties between the U.S. and Russia, Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, and North Korea, of course, because of its ongoing missile testing, which has been a thorn not just the United States. But it raises the question, what is the strategy? What is the U.S. trying to get out of this? Number one, I think they wanted to handcuff Donald Trump so he could not ease the existing sanctions that exist on Russia. But it does create problems for the United States trying to go into two of those three markets, and their large emerging markets in Russia and Iran. So I think this isolates the United States. You know, we've had conversations around the G20 and the one that took place at Hamburg, and in fact, it's prompted some of the U.S. G20 partners to suggest, why do you go about this unilaterally and not stay within an apparatus where we have kind of like-minded countries like Germany, like France, the UK, the United States, Italy, China in many respects, Japan in many respects, and you decide to go about this alone. And I think it leads to further isolation on the United States. And then I think, conversely, it waters down the effectiveness of sanctions, particularly if we see retaliation by any of the countries as kind of Russia promised today.
It will be interesting to see where that leads. But, John, can I ask you, moving on with President Trump, he's looking set to lose the health care bill entirely. What is going on there in terms of a flawed strategy from the beginning?
Well, I'm glad you brought it up. You know, my view is, and he was elected in part for a very strong base that thought they would take care of him. That's the blue-collar worker in the United States, just kind of isolated because of the transition of the opening up of trade barriers, and it's been a tough transition for many workers in the industrialized world. They brought in Donald Trump to change that, and from Wall Street, because they thought he'd be a pro-business president. So in that ilk, I think he would have been much wiser to start on the infrastructure bill that was going to create all these jobs and $1 trillion worth of spending that would have affected kind of Main Street in America and Wall Street as well, and that's part of the reason we saw such a healthy stock market rally in the first 6 months of his presidency. Number two, I think he should have tackled tax reform. I think that was what the expectation was. Corporate taxes in the United States are very high, and they need reforming. Far too complex, far too much in favoring certain industries like healthcare, for example, the real estate industry. They could have needed a revamping. Healthcare is not a good place to start, though, when it comes to the legislation he tried to blow up, which was the previous President Barack Obama's legislation. It would have cost at least 30, up to 37 million people losing insurance. This doesn't work for either side of the aisle, Republican or Democrat. It's a kind of a poison chalice. Republicans thought this was going to reverberate very badly in 2018, but the alternative didn't really serve those who didn't have insurance, and it is blowing up on him in a very big way. So his advisors, or he maybe took his own word, he promised to blow up Obamacare. He took that as his first issue. It didn't go down well in his own party. Democrats didn't have to fight this in great strength. And as a result, he's losing that. He's fighting unusual battles, as I was suggesting before now, with sanctions legislation. And it's making it very difficult for him to tick a box and say, I scored one. You know, 7 months in, he has not scored anything of significance, I would suggest, leading to job creation that he promised.
He has, however, made some important speeches to the Boy Scouts.
Yeah. That raised a few eyebrows.
Yeah, didn't it just?
A number of things that he's doing is raising a number of eyebrows. Exactly, although his base remains strong and behind him, it seems.
What about the pressure that he keeps putting on, or continues to put on, Attorney General Jeff Sessions?
Well, I think this is an unusual play because Jeffrey Sessions is respected by the hard right of the Republican Party, and we're starting to see, Clarence and Sally, this idea that the hard right is going to start abandoning Donald Trump. You see some very influential bloggers, for example, like the Drudge Report, going against Donald Trump because he's bullying a member of his own cabinet. He didn't agree that Sessions recluded himself from the investigation that's now taking place into Russia. He thought he should have hung in there and been involved. But Sessions actually was seen in video, and there's recordings of his meetings that he had during the Republican National Convention, meeting with the Russian ambassador and other Russian officials. He thought he should recluse himself. He was appointed by this president. Donald Trump obviously doesn't agree. But the way he goes about undermining Sessions in public and berating him and saying his job's on the line and it's very iffy whether he stays, he spreads this through his communications director, is, in a word, unusual. I mean, I think you could use much more flagrant language and say it is extreme language for somebody you pick to have in your own cabinet. It's not the first time he's done it, and our CNN coverage are pretty aggressive, equating it to bullying of a cabinet member. But I think this one in particular could backfire on the president, not with his rank and file, those who support him, but within the party itself. And I think it's going to hurt him on the platform he's very successful in, that's in social media. You're starting to see the language from those that I've talked about going against him and wondering, why is he taking such a radical approach from a member that he just selected a few months ago to be his own attorney general?
People are worried as well within the Republican Party, saying Jeff Sessions was one of the first people to get behind Donald Trump when nobody else was going to. And if he's doing that to Jeff Sessions, they're getting worried about, is the president going to have their back when they need him?
Well, it's a great point you bring up, Sally, because Rex Tillerson is the Secretary of State, and there was an article very carefully sourced by the New York Times overnight. It's not the first we've heard of it, but it was the one that first flushed it out, if you will, kind of with great analysis. And it was saying that Rex Tillerson may not last till the end of the year. He's taking 3 or 4 days off. His State Department spokeswoman had a very difficult time explaining exactly why he was taking the time off. She didn't say he was on holiday, didn't take a full week, didn't take 2 weeks. It's unusual for the Secretary of State just to say he's taking a few days off of leave and not explaining why, obviously for security reasons as well. I think it could be an indication. This is somebody who ran, worked within the apparatus of ExxonMobil for 42 years, CEO for a good chunk of that. Really respected, great contacts, very even keeled, very centrist, very discreet. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like what you just said about Jeffrey Sessions and the bullying of him, moving out a spokesperson and Sean Spicer, bringing in another player, kind of bad-mouthing the whole attorney general apparatus, getting rid of the attorney general in Manhattan. That can give a long list of those who have already left the administration already. But Rex Tillerson is one that's liked on both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat. For him to be considering, as the reports are suggesting, about leaving says a great deal about the first 7 months in office for Donald Trump, I think.
John, we've run out of time as usual. Always great to chat to you and get your insight. Thanks so much for joining us.
No problem. We'll talk to you in the next week.
Talk to you next week. Okay.
All the best.
Thanks. That's John Defterios there from CNN, of course. And always really interesting to get his insight into some of those sort of political wranglings going on.